with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." The Gospel of the Lord. For a few weeks, we have been reading from the book of Genesis. And as you're listening to this, you know, first readings to those stories, you might be thinking it doesn't kind of make sense. And in a way, that's true because it's not a continuous reading. You know, the lectionary, what we read from at Mass, jumps, you know, kind of goes fast forward into these stories, so able to achieve and cover as much as the read the Old Testament as possible. The other thing you might be thinking, why are these sacred scripture? I mean, they're all kind of almost like soap operas. Why are they in the Bible? What's they have to do with us? And that's also a valid question. But regarding the first question, you know, it doesn't make much sense. Like I said, you can ratify this by going home and reading the story about Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, you know, the whole story, so you can understand what's going on. I think it was yesterday where kind of, you know, Jacob stole the birthright of Esau. He kind of deceived his father. And then his mother said, "Well, you know, your brother gonna probably kill you, so you better go to my brother's, you know, and live with them for a while and get married there." So he goes there, he marries his cousins, he becomes a herdsman for his uncle, and that story also develops. It could be a whole season of a soap opera. But now at this point, he decides to run away from his uncle, so he takes his wife and his, you know, herds and his servants, and he's going back to his land, going to back to where his brother is. Now think about it. He's going back to where his brother is, the one he deceived him. He hears that his brother is coming to meet him with 400 men. How does that make you feel? He's in a conflict. He's struggling. What do I do? How am I gonna face my brother? Do I come from a place of humility and ask for forgiveness? Or do I come in from a place of strength and, you know, fight him or do whatever it is? That's what this dream is all about. You know, sometimes we forget how the Bible came about. We think that one day God dropped the Bible on someone's head and said, "Okay, this is sacred scripture." The Bible started with stories. People stories, family stories, like the family of Isaac and his wife and his children. But the difference is that people saw God acting in those stories. They didn't think, "Well, this is just a human story." So what's the revelation part that God is trying to teach us through these stories is that our God is not a isolated God in heaven. He created everything, then, you know, we're told he rested on the seventh day, so he stopped. Our God is a God who is with us. He's involved in our lives. He's part of our daily lives. He gives us the gift to guide us, to direct us, to show us the way, to do his will. And this is obviously fulfilled in Jesus Christ in the incarnation when God becomes a human person like us, except for sin. So that's preparing the people to who is this God that we believe in? He's not a distant God. He's not sitting in the heaven just watching us say, okay, they messed up again. But he's a God who wants to be a part of our daily lives. The other thing that this story kind of teaches us is all of us struggle with God, just like Jacob struggled with this person. Now, a psychiatrist or a therapist today can explain this from a psychological point of view. That's an inner conflict. And yes, it's this inner conflict that kind of helps us relate to these stories. How often we wrestle with God in our lives. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. We don't want to do the right thing because we're afraid. And through that wrestling, we come out as a new creation, a new person. That's why the change of the name of Jacob to Israel. He's no longer the old Israel, the old Jacob. He's a new person because of that struggle. But yet, that struggle also impacts us, and sometimes it's painful, it's difficult. And that's why he starts to limp from that moment on. Because we fight back, we don't surrender easily to God. So that's how those stories become relevant to us today. It's not what happened thousands of years ago, but what's the spiritual meaning, what God's trying to teach us. Maybe today you're going through some kind of conflict in your life. God is trying to tell you he is with you. He is in that conflict. And if you want to see the face of God, as the Psalm told us, then do what is right, do what is just. Don't be afraid. That's God's history with all his people throughout the generations. God doesn't choose us because we are perfect. God chooses us because he loves us. He created us. We are his children. And no matter what we do, no matter how much we fight him back, he's always there for us to embrace us and bring us home.